Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
So I was just listening to Pete do his update there, and I didn't realize it's the first series win, postseason series win for the Devils in 11 years, which takes us back to 2011-2012. When they beat the Rangers in the conference finals. That was their last series win prior to this one. Oh, come on. And that one, you know, the Devils went to the Cup final, of course, winning the Eastern Conference finals over the Rangers. And they ended up losing to the Kings. Well, that, to me, was the Rangers' best shot with Henrik to win a Cup. That was their year. And I don't know how the hell they ended up losing to that Devils team, but they did. And then, obviously, as we mentioned, the Kings won the Cup. Rangers, of course, would make it a couple years later, the 13-14 season, and, you know, lose to the Kings as well in the Stanley Cup final. But anyway, I can't believe that the Devils' last two postseason series wins are against the Rangers. 11 years ago now? It's a long time ago, man. In the conference finals, and now this, Devils have gotten the better of the Rangers. No question about it in recent history. 877-337-6666. Charlie is calling from Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
How are you doing?
Good, Charlie. How are you?
Terrible. That was a terrible night last night. Coach Gerard, his postgame telling us about the team chemistry, forechecking. You know what? Where was that after game four? I don't need to hear it after game seven when it's over.
Well, he did say, he said game four. He called them out for their lack of effort. He said it was a terrible hockey game by them in game four. So he called them out for that, too.
Yeah, he called them out, but you know what? You know what's calling them out? When you start benching guys and start mixing up the lineups. And you know what? It's unacceptable. This team on paper, I thought, was one of the best teams in hockey. Came out at Prudential Center, and they looked like those first two games. And then what happened in the next two games at home? I don't know what happened. Then you get a little pumped up after game six, the game you were at. They look like they were back playing good hockey, even though they didn't start out good. But, I mean, they threw a beating on them. We had the momentum going into it, and it was a different team tonight. I have no idea where that came from. You got to play in the game seven.
I don't know if I would say it's a different team, but it did feel like, and I know a lot of the fans at the Garden were saying the Rangers are back after Saturday night's performance. This, to me, felt like the bulk of the series, the way that they played tonight. They were just sloppy. They were lazy. They weren't clean, crisp at all. Too many times they did it. Game four was awful. Game five was bad. Game six, even the beginning, as you mentioned, not great until they finally broke through. And in game seven, again, they were getting dominated in the first period, but still no score. And then to have that slip up by Fox, just letting up, playing lazy hockey, turning the puck over, leading to the first goal, and that was basically it.
And that was terrible. And the other thing is, Gerard got out-coached. Lindy Ruff did a great job. He was totally out-coached. And listen, I don't care. This kid came in, got his wins, but, you know, he ain't no Brodeur, but he doesn't make that goalie change. The Devils ain't winning the series, so it was the coaching.
Agreed.
And that was a series.
And thank you for the call, Charlie. Ruff gets credit. He did a great job. He made it was two games and there were two blowout games, but the fact that he went to the rookie goaltender in that spot. Yeah, and that's all you need to know, that they were toast. I mean, come on, the Rangers had him. I told you, forget about the result of game three. And really even game four. But once game four took place and the Rangers, you know, they missed an opportunity to lose an overtime in game three, fine. Once game four took place and the Rangers came out and played like crap, I knew they were done. not for the series, but done in general, because you can't have that type of effort at home up 2-1. You have to have the killer instinct. Put the foot on the throat. Keep them down. They were reeling the Devils. Smoked in the first two games, they were reeling. Send the message. Make them know they have to come back and win three straight. So once they miss that opportunity, after going up 2-0 on the road, they come home and lose two games, one of which they didn't even try in. That, to me, was a sign that this team was done. Now, I just would love to know what happened from even game three till then. Dylan is calling from Texas. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call.
How are you doing? Thanks for making it.
Good, man. I want to talk a little Rangers here. Real quick, though, I think you jinxed us by wearing that Islanders jersey at UBS this year.
No, I don't think that had much to do with it.
Anyway, look, I mean, I got to say this. You know, one thing that stood out was the only scoring two goals in all the four losses that they had.
Mm-hmm.
That just can't happen. You're not going to win if you're not going to score. But I want to ask you, though, do you think Gallant lost the locker room?
Well, I mean, I kind of alluded to it before, Dylan, where I think it might be the case. Now, I love Gallant. I love everything that he says. But something happened, and I don't know what. But if his message is not getting through, if he turned guys off, I think that there's a chance that that is the case. Now, we're going to find out in the coming days. I would not be shocked if the Rangers make the change. I don't think it's his fault necessarily, but maybe they did tune him out at some point. I don't know. Maybe he did lose the locker room. It's definitely a possibility. Put it this way, Dylan. After watching this team play, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out.
But how? But think about this way, right? After the first two games, so if we lead up to the point where, okay, first two games they play great. Game three, they lost in overtime. What happened? Did he lose the locker room after a tough loss in overtime in game three to game four? I mean, he called him out after game four, but that was after game four. And he's called him out before. So what the hell happened? I want to know what happened after the first three games of this series.
Well, I'd say this. I'd say you didn't get production from the guys you brought in here. You thought you were going to get production from. That's one. And two, I mean, I know we're talking about the kids. Paco and Laffy, I mean, they're just not taking the next step, Sal.
Right.
And you know, how much more can we watch? And, you know, another thing to it, I think it's either Gallant lost the locker room or some guys were playing hurt.
I don't know if they were playing hurt. I mean, what's Adam Fox's excuse, Dylan?
Did you see how slow he looked today?
Yeah, but slow, and he looked like he looked careless. He was careless on that turn. What is his problem? This is Adam Fox we're talking about.
Yeah, look, I mean, big contracts, you know. I think they took the Devils lightly, and, you know, I just, I don't know.
I think
they're too good, and they got too many pieces to just say, oh, no, we need to start over. They're going to be back.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think it's me wearing the Islander jersey, Dylan. And thank you for the call. I think you're right. You know, I had a fan come up to me. I'm with my wife and with Saratoga Wilson, his wife. We're waiting for the Knicks to open the doors on Sunday. And I had a fan come up to me. Hey, Sal. I'm like, hey, man. You know, people, whatever, will say hello all the time. And it's usually pleasant. The guy goes, hey, Sal. I'm like, yeah, what's up, dude? How are you? He goes, don't jinx the Knicks like you jinx the Mets. And turns around and walks away. I didn't even have time to get a line in. And it bothered me. I mean, I, you know, said something after he left that I would not repeat on the air because it would get me fired. But I didn't have time. He hit me with it and bounced. I was thrown off. I'm trying to be nice in public. Oh, here's a fan. All right, what am I supposed to say to that? Right? I couldn't believe it. If he stayed, we could have maybe had a conversation. I could have taken a shot or something, but no. Anyway, I didn't ruin the Mets division last year, and I didn't ruin the Rangers season this year. They did. And I think, you know, I think we know that. But just in case you needed a clarification, I think it's possible Gallant lost the locker room. I'm not going to say that that's the case. I like him. I want to believe he could be the guy. But something happened from game three, where they played three solid games, to game four, where they were just dreadful. And that set a horrible tone. The series was lost in game four. That was it. It set a horrible tone the rest of the way. Gave the Devils great life. They took advantage of it. They came out like a team possessed in game five. Devils didn't play their best game until game five. And even after that, the Rangers answered with a decent game six. And I only say decent because it was a very slow start for them. Where early on, I would have bet anything, Rangers are going to lose that game. It was just a feel in the building was that, oh my God, they're getting beat again by this team. Just an unacceptable overall result for the Rangers. Mark is calling from Long Island. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Sal?
How are you, Mark?
Doing good. I just want to preface this by saying that I'm not a Ranger fan, but I've got a message to James Dolan, a.k.a. Glenn Slater, whatever you want to call him. Please don't panic. You've done this before. He got PO'd from some sort of Tom Wilson incident. Fire Jeff Gorton. They get rid of David Quinn. I'm not saying David Quinn would have got them through, but it's known around the league. Gerard Gallant's team fold in the playoffs. Don't panic. You gave the keys to Chris Drury. Let him continue doing his job. You bring in someone new, it messes the whole thing over.
I don't think Drury's going anywhere. They can't fire Drury. I mean, he's done a good enough job to earn another couple of goes at it here, especially next year.
A lot of that's Jeff Gorton. A lot of that moves, and a lot of this team is Jeff Gorton.
Yeah, but
as a Canadian fan, I'm happy for that. But.
No, but the talent, right? A lot of the talent was Gorton. That's part of the problem, though. JD and Gorton and Quinn, when he was here, you know, that trio there, they had the talent being built, but they didn't build the team the right way, which is why when Drury took over and built a team that went on to the postseason and on a postseason run, you figured, well, he knew what was missing, the grit and the playoff components that you need to have success. Now, he failed.
I'm not going to turn this into defending Jeff Gorton, but look how many points they made in that year in the playoffs. They would have made it any other year. They just missed the playoffs because it was a messed up division.
But this has nothing to do with Gorton. I don't know why you keep talking about him. We're talking about Chris Drury.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's talk about Chris Drury. I think he should stay.
Right.
You got to keep him too early. And Gerard Gallant got to go. He lost the locker room. And you brought that up also, leadership. Like, as a Canadian fan, it came out later on when they made that run to the Stanley Cup Finals that their coach, Ducharme, lost the locker room in the middle of that playoffs. And who stepped up? Jay Weber, Carey Price, Philip Deneau, and led that team through. He was done after that playoff run. They made the cup. You can't fire your coach. But
yeah,
he lost the locker room then.
I think Gallant's getting fired, Mark, and thank you for the call. I think Gallant is going to get fired. I'm not sure that would be the move that I would make. Now, again, I'm not inside the locker room. I don't know if he lost the locker room or what's going on, but I do know that it was unacceptable the way that this season went down. Would I blame him? No, but if he lost the locker room, then it's an issue. I do trust Drury, though, to have his finger on the pulse as to what is going on with this team and what they need. They took a chance. They went all in with Tarasenko and Kane. It didn't work out. Now that they saw that failed, they got to figure out. And look, you don't think that Kane was in part to help Panarin out, especially in the postseason after last year? First thing they have to do is forget about Gallant. First thing they have to do is figure out what the hell Panarin's problem is in the postseason. And Mika, for that matter. How are those guys going to do what they do in the regular season and have that translate in the postseason? Whether it's power play, whether it's 5-on-5, doesn't matter. How are those guys going to get their games better? Also find out what the hell's wrong with Adam Fox and why he would have that type of effort in the biggest game of the season. But those are things that, you know, obviously are up to each individual. Is there a bigger team-wide issue? Well, Drury's got to figure it out. And then, obviously, find out if it's the locker room being lost by Gallant, which head coach you would bring in. This is going to be an important offseason here. It's okay to, you know, they made their run last year. This is the step-back year. But then next year's got to be the year. The 2023, wait, so what year are we in? 2023? So it'll be exactly 30 years since the Cup Final? Is that right? Since the Rangers won? right? 93, 94, obviously. 23, 24. How about that? Maybe next year's the year. We'll see. I mean, I used to think that way, but you know, with the Mets even. Oh, 2006 got to be their year. 20-year anniversary. Wrong. Doesn't work like that. Thought the same thing for the Rangers in 93, 94, and 13, 14. Wrong. 877-337-6666. Linda is calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Hi, Sal.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Not sad, you know, not whatever, just disappointed. This Ranger team, man, I'm surprised you think Gallant's not an issue. He should be fired, Sal.
Well, he's probably going to get fired. I like him. I don't think that... I think it's the players that sucked. I don't think it's Gallant's issue.
I understand that, you know, there's more to... I understand that you like him, and I'm you know, I can see why.
But I like Delaine Vigneault, too. I mean, I like Torts as well. But with hockey, for some reason, it seems like some of these guys, their voices, you know, fall thin on the locker room after a certain amount of time. Hasn't been a while for Gallant, but, you know, maybe he lost the locker room. I don't know. Maybe they're going to get change.
This Devils team just proved that, you know, finesse hockey cannot win against youth, speed, toughness, grit. All of which the Rangers don't have.
Yeah, I still can't believe the Rangers lost this series and are out in the first round. I mean, my goodness.
It's two years in a row, 2-0 leads, and they cough it up.
Though, last year. First of all, last year, Linda, it was in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they were worn out. Second, it was to the Lightning, who never lose.
That's the thing. That's what makes this loss even more upsetting, is that Boston's out. Tampa Bay is out. Look at all the teams that are advancing. Colorado's out. This was their chance. And their lack of effort, it's just gross.
Yeah, I mean...
Game four started it.
Well, that was...
I agree with you.
That's the problem to me, Linda, and thank you for the call. Game four was the problem. They gave no effort in game four whatsoever. And it set the tone for the series. I mean, it went in the wrong direction after that. Tied at two, but it was like, oh my God, what the hell just happened in game four? Steamrolled game five, yada, yada, yada. The Devils are moving on. 877-337-6666. And I don't know if Gerard Gallant is going to have to be forced to move on as well, but you can't go at it again with the same thing. Whether it's making a significant move with one of the youngsters, Lafreniere or Kako, whether it is trying to move Artemi Panarin, reworking the defense pairings, bringing guys up who are ready to contribute. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. Changes, significant changes have to be made. You know, look, the core is still there. And obviously, as long as Shesterkin is there, they're in good shape. And so it's going to be Shesterkin, you know, Fox. Again, just wake him up. Mika, Kreider. You know, they got to figure out how the rest of it's going to work. Who they can move, who they can't, how they're going to add, who they're not. I mean, there's a lot to it.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, and the push for the postseason is on for hockey and hoops. Make it all count this spring with Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is the best wagering app around, with a direct line to experienced bookmakers behind the counter in Las Vegas. Plus, get a $250 bonus when you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day. Don't let spring pass you by without winning money with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It has not been, I will say, a fun show, but somewhat therapeutic for me to be able to talk to you guys about it. I know I'm here for you as well, but you know, you're here for me. I'm bothered by this. I can't believe it. My poor nephew, I told the story earlier. If you missed it, you know, I took him to game six. We had such a great time talking hockey on the way back. You know, at the game, he was going nuts. What a great experience. The best game, for sure, he's been to. One of the best games I've ever been to, that Game 6 at the Garden. Face an elimination. Ranger fans were scared to go there and then have that type of performance. It was great. But then during Game 7, as it was, you know, 3-0 or whatever, I texted my sister, how's he doing? And she said, he's taking it hard. He's not doing too good. Yeah, that was a rough one. That said, 9-year-old, you know, all about the Rangers, all about hockey. Hey, this is what makes you a fan. You go to the game, you have great experience. The euphoric win Saturday night at the Garden. He's like, Uncle Sal, the Devils are going to be more nervous now, right, in Game 7? I was like, yeah, you better believe it, Joey. You're right, pressure now back on them. All pumped up, wearing his Kreider jersey today. He chose the white Kreider jersey. And then they have that type of performance, and they're going home. And he's enduring some pain as a young fan. 8-7, and we all are enduring pain. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a Ranger fan, you're enduring some pain. But for the 9-year-old, this is the beginning. Yeah, last year too. But you know, as the years go on, you get a little older, the more it hurts. 877-337-6666. Someone else I know is hurting tonight. Doug is on Long Island. Doug?
Hey, Sal. I tell you, as a 57-year-old Ranger fan, I wish I was 9 years old. I wish I could switch places with him, the stuff I've gone through. Oh. Let me start with something good. And the Rangers are done. I'll finish with them. The Knicks. I need Julius back tomorrow night. I think he's important in this series. We need him down low, getting the easier baskets. I still think the Knicks are going to win this series. And I need him to get to a conference final. I think that'll make this an unbelievable season. I think it'll put stepping stones in place. And it'll definitely make me feel a lot better about that garbage I witnessed tonight with the Rangers.
I do think the Knicks are winning this year. I didn't feel that way going in to that series, but I watched it game one, and I don't think Miami's that good at all. If Brunson is healthy and gets back to playing his game, and if they could get Julius, forget it. But as long as Brunson is back healthy, I do think the Knicks are going to win the series. I think they'll win tonight in game two, and I think they'll figure out a way to move on.
And Sal, one of these games, they got to hit outside shots. They haven't had one good game.
They need your boy.
It's amazing that they're 4-2.
They need your boy Grimes to get going because RJ and Obi aren't it. I mean, they can't shoot the three.
I don't want him taking 11, but he did hit 4 out of 3.
I keep chucking him. I can hit 4 of 11 too, for goodness sake. I mean, come on now.
4 of 11 is pretty good.
He's playing like he thinks he's John Starks or Steph Curry, for goodness sake. Stop shooting the three, Obi. Stop.
Well, I hope tomorrow night that they pay attention because Miami ran.
What is up with your phone?
Every one of their threes.
What is it? You hear
can't
that?
Hear me?
Yeah, you hear that? I hear you. You hear that crackling going on?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not in the car because I thought, you know, a little while ago, I thought I was going to be a little loud. I don't want to wake my daughter with this Ranger game, but I've calmed down a lot.
Okay.
So it could be because I'm in the car. I got to ask you something about the Mets. You acknowledge that it's time to play Alvarez, right? Like, Alvarez has to be playing. Like,
right.
He's as good defensively as Nito. He's at least a threat offensively.
Right.
I mean, we worried about this offense. I think Beatty's going to be a star. I love this kid's swing. I love his plate discipline. He goes the other way. I think with these two kids, we have a legit offense. Now we just got to fix the pitching. I just hope Buck acknowledges that it's time to move on from Nito, and Nito should play maybe, you know, once every 4 or 5 games.
I think Alvarez has to be, and thank you for the call, Doug. I would have kept you on a little bit longer there, but your phone was driving me, and I'm sure all the listeners nuts. So I gave you, out of the courtesy, you know, because you call all the time, I gave you a little more wiggle room than I normally give anybody else. I would have just hung up on them immediately. I think Alvarez is starting to show that he can be an impact offensive player. I think it's starting to click for him offensively. And that's something that you cannot keep on the bench. Tomas Nito was not a major league catcher. He's barely a backup major league catcher. So it's got to be Alvarez. Beatty's going to be the everyday third baseman. That's established, as he should be. Even defensively, he's looking good. So I, and look, maybe the more important thing even than Alvarez or Beatty from yesterday was Starling Marte finally looking like he's coming around. Once Marte and Lindor get going, then the Mets offense will look a little bit better. Still need to get Vogel back out of here and get a real DH in there. But outside of that, I do think that Beatty and Alvarez could take them to another level offensively. And we're going to find out with that pitching this week. Verlander, Scherzer back-to-back. Or Scherzer, Verlander, I should say. Joey Lucchese scheduled to go tonight, although the weather's supposed to be bad in Detroit. So who knows if that game actually gets played. But Lucchese on the mound tonight, and then you'll have Scherzer on Wednesday and Verlander on Thursday into Kodai Senga on Friday. So it's kind of a restart or a reset for the Mets to begin this new month of the year here in May, where you know, they're going to have their rotation at least 3/5 of it the way that they expected to coming into the year. And as a matter of fact, it might be better because Tylor Megill is better than Carlos Carrasco, and Lucchese is better than Peterson, and who knows, maybe even with Quintana would have given him. 877-337-6666. Paul's in Hamden, Connecticut. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Sal, what's up? You know, I thought you were talking to me when I heard the crackling tool. I was like, was it you talking to me when I heard that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a bad connection for some reason. Anyway.
By the way, I mean, if there's anybody crank here, then you, it's me. I mean, unbelievable, Sal. I finally get the TV turned on after game two. I get to watch. I know I got cable. I get to watch game three. I lost. Game four, I lost. Game five, I lost. I'm like, okay, now game six, a win, and we know what happened tonight. But you know what, though, Sal? Most discouraging thing in the whole world, and I've been a fan forever with this team. I mean, we all know. I mean, this game was pathetic. I mean, where the hell was Kreider, Zibanejad? Kane was horrible. Panarin, horrible. The kid line, horrible. Truba, horrible. Igor kept him in the game the whole damn night. But save after save after save, nobody shows up. And I don't understand. And you say, you know, people call in, Devil fans call in, which we never hear people from unless they're playing the Rangers now that they beat them. But nevertheless, it's like they want Gallant's head. You know what? Who's going to replace him if they do want to get rid of him? Who's the next
guy? Well, a juror's got to find that guy. I mean, if you're asking me, I'd bring back Mike Keenan, for goodness sake. I mean, that's a guy I trust to get the job done. Where is he? Find him. Dig him up. Let's go. Where's Keenan?
I'll even help you dig him up. But you know what, though, Sal? You know what cracks him up is that it's like, you know, I'm watching the game, and they actually were in the game, you know, early. And then next thing you know, it's like, you know, Schmidt was the goalie. All right, come on. All right, they pulled him last game. Doesn't matter. Right? But, I mean, they never attacked. They never got to the net. They never took any good shots. The power play wasn't working. And I said to myself, I said, what is going on with this team? They weren't hungry. And game seven, look what they think about Boston, how those fans feel after winning 6-5.
Yeah, once Boston lost last night, and thank you for the call, Paul, and maybe you should give that cable back. Get rid of that cable. You don't want to watch this. Plus, you probably jinxed them. Of course, you get the cable after the first two games. Starting with game three, I think you were the jinx, Paul. After watching the Bruins go down at home in game seven the way that they did, I swear to you, I said, well, it's not going to be any worse than that, even if the Rangers do lose this game seven. Could always be worse. Now, the Bruins do have the recent cups in the bank, and Rangers don't have that. But there's always next year. There's always next year. 30-year anniversary? Why not? Right? 2023, 2024 season, 30 years ago. God, that's hard to believe. Why not? And just for the heck of it, bring back Keenan. Matt is calling from Berkeley Heights. What's up, Matt?
All I have to say is let's go Devils. Tonight was an electric atmosphere. Even though I will give you guys credit that you definitely had a lot of Ranger fans there tonight.
Of course. I mean, the Ranger fans always show up there.
I was at the game. I was very disappointed about how many Ranger fans showed up. But that just goes to show how you guys show up all the time.
Aren't you used to that by now? I mean, I'm assuming that's the case a lot of time. I know they haven't been in the postseason together in, you know, 10 years or whatever, but...
No, absolutely. I totally agree, but I scream my face off. I give you guys a lot of credit that, you know, we brought this to the Game 7 and everything like that. But all I heard after Game 2 was 1994. And that's all I heard throughout Game 7. It's not 1994 anymore.
Correct. It's
that's
been a long
all
time.
I hear.
It'll be 30
all
years.
I hear.
Well, I don't, I mean, in what regard? I don't understand that this year was going to be compared to 1994?
Yeah, yeah, that's all I hear because you're talking about the Knicks and the Rangers.
Oh, right, and at
that's
the same
all
time.
All
yeah.
I hear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, obviously it's time. Not. Obviously, it's not the case. And thank you for the call, Matt. You know, that's a good point too. I forgot about that. We were talking about the Knicks and Rangers, and in comparison, we're saying, well, which team has the legitimate chance? It was always the Rangers. Out of all the teams in a winter sports that made the postseason, the number one team that had the opportunity to go all the way was the Rangers, and now they're out. And it's, I mean, how could you not say it's the Devils at this point? Obviously, the Nets are out. The Islanders are out. So that leaves the Knicks or the Devils. And I don't think the Knicks can win an NBA championship. Although I will say, looking around at the teams that are left, and now I can understand why people were saying, oh, you know what, maybe the Knicks could get there. Now, I don't think they beat Phoenix. Phoenix, though, down 0-2 in their series to the Nuggets. The Celtics lose at home to the Sixers without Joel Embiid in game one of that series. Lakers, Warriors. I mean, look, I still don't think the Knicks. It's crazy to even talk about that for me, to talk Knicks and championship. But I do think they could beat Miami, and they're down to the final eight here, so what the hell? Crazy. Anyway, the fact that the Rangers are out and the Knicks moved on is also surprising. You would have thought maybe both teams would go at the best going into the postseason. Best case scenario, both teams would go to the second round. So Rangers disappointing, out in round one. Gary in Mayapack. Gary?
Should have told that caller if it wasn't for Ranger fans in the building, there'd be no one. The place is going to be empty against the Canes. I am so disappointed, Sal. You know, last year, June 12th is when the season ended for us. To end on May 1st just is surreal, especially after having the two-game lead on the road, no less, and especially after Game 6. I was at that game. I wound up getting two tickets late in the day.
Nice.
And the excitement, I was thinking about you. I was actually looking all over.
Yeah, where are you sitting?
I wound up getting two bar stool seats.
Oh, okay.
Bridge. Great seats if you ever sit there. You got
a little light. I don't like the Bridge. I've been up there plenty of times because that's where the media thing used to be, and I've walked around there to check it out. I don't love the Bridge up there.
Yeah, I actually was surprised I liked them so much. But you know what? I was happy I got in. The price was pretty good. So
Tickets came way down. I ended up overpaying for mine because I got them way before. But still, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, you got to strike. I even was saying your nephew must have had a blast.
Oh my God, we had a great time. I was so excited to see him having fun. It was great. But that's what it's all about, right? I mean, this is what the postseason is about. You get in if you're lucky, and then you go experience it if you're luckier. And you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. There was a chance the Devils ended it in Game 6. They didn't, but they did take it to them in Game 7.
Yeah, you know what? They were a desperate team. That's like the Rangers losing the first two at the Garden against someone, and then you put Halak in for Game 3. They were so desperate, and I don't know how it worked out that we didn't shell this guy. But that's Gallant for you. You know what? He's got to go. I've been saying it all year. I said it last year. He does not get the team up to where they come out of the locker room and they put their will on you. Even tonight, Trouba's hit on Meyer, that should have came in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Do you have a coach in mind?
I like Lavalette. I told you that the other night. I know you keep saying Keenan, and I love Keenan. You know what?
Well, I mean, I don't think realistically Keenan would be the guy, although, geez, right. If they ever hired him, I'd be doing cartwheels in studio here just because of nostalgia purposes.
But here's the thing with Keenan. Messier said, that before Game 7, he gave the greatest speech in the world about how they'll walk together for the rest of their lives, this and that. When they ask Gallant, you're going to say anything different, he basically said no. The players know what they got to do. He does not motivate, I don't think. I don't think he has what it takes to get guys. Like I said, right. Even every big game they had against Carolina down the stretch when they were going.
Who do you think is a better coach, Lindy Ruff or Gerard Gallant?
I don't like Ruff, I think.
Really?
I take Ruff.
Something about him, I've always liked him. I think he's one of the good, great head coaches that we've seen. I also think he outcoached Gallant pretty badly in this series.
Well, Sutter got released today. The Sutter brothers, those guys are usually pretty, passionate. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I like Lavalette. I would go with him. I love Barry Trotz, but now Fleek said the other night he's taking the Dallas.
Nashville?
I would have loved Trotz. Yeah. Dallas, I thought he said. But you know what, Sal? You know, it just ended too early. Panarin, very, very disappointed in Panarin. And I think some of these moves were made so they could play, either Kane or Tarasenko, either one of them with him to get him going. The kid line, you can't blame the pick, Sal. Those were no-brainer picks.
No, but they can blame the players for not doing their job.
It's on the players because Kakko and Hughes, they were equal. It was like, who's going to be one, who's going to be two? No one knew for sure. Lafreniere was a no doubt about it first round. There wasn't even another person they discussed. I am shocked at Lafreniere. 0 points, 0 assists.
He sucks. He's terrible. I'm sorry. He's terrible.
And I don't know. You'll never move that contract, but that's a big contract. Panarin's got $11 million. Mm. That hurts bringing other players in. But
because he's supposed to be the guy, Gary. He's got to get the job done. And thank you for the call as always. Sorry I didn't run into you at the Garden on Saturday. It would have been nice. But look, you're getting paid $11 million or whatever it is. You got to get the job done. Simple as that. And he didn't. He's invisible in the postseason. Except for a bad turnover today again. Instead of making mistakes. God, it's infuriating. Yeah, Sutter is out in Calgary. Laviolette, done in Washington. There's going to be some big names out there. I do think the Rangers are going to make a change. And I do think, even though I like Gallant, it's probably necessary. Like I said, I liked Vigneault too. I like Torts too. What's Torts' deal? He's still coaching Columbus? Bring him back. I trust him to toughen this team up. Won't be any softies anymore on this team.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal, I got it back on the Fan. We'll finish up here. Get as many calls as we can in. Pat Boyle coming up at 2 a.m. Be back again tonight following the Yankees, so somewhere I'd figure around 10 p.m. And we'll be talking Knicks Heat Game 2. Matt is calling from Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, Matt. How are you?
All right, good. I just feel like this whole series, after Game 4, the confidence completely shifted to the Devils and the momentum turned. And then Game 4 is terrible, and you got Game 5 showdown, and tonight, again, the mistakes, couldn't come in the power play. Fox and the Devils showed they were the better team and just took the series right from them. I just had to say, the Rangers won the East was going to be wide open, and because Boston's gone. Can I just say one thing about Boston that I wanted to mention? I'm not. I know you probably don't care, but that coach up there, he ruined the whole series, what he did, throwing from goalie. Like, how do you put Swamnick in Game 7 Like, why don't you make the change in game six? It was the wrong line. I just wanted to say that. I mean, I know you don't care, but...
No, it's not even that I don't care. I don't even know what happened. What did he do? He changed a goalie going into game
six? I forgot the name. Umark. He put Jeremy Swanson up in game seven. And he changed all the lines. And just, like, completely, all the wrong decisions. He cost the Bruins the series.
I mean, he still had a lead with a minute to go in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, I shouldn't blame it all on the coach, but, like, I don't know how you could put a new goaltender in Game 7. I mean, like, you just can't put the kid in that spot, really.
Yeah, just an epic collapse by him. But anyway, thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate you checking in. Path is now wide open for the Devils. Bob is calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Sal. Hey, real quick, with the... Can you have hit 4-for-11 with the Knicks? Maybe you could have played the net in the Devils because the Rangers still would have lost it. You still would have lost if you played the net.
Yeah, right.
That's number one. Number two is, before you were talking about the, you know, when you have a series with the teams, you know, in the regular season, you don't play like you do during a seven-game series. You sit down and study the teams, and that's how you win. The Trouba hit, just like the last caller said, should have been done in the first 2 minutes of the game. Gallant being fired, I hate to see it, but I think that's going to happen. I really do. I really think he lost the control of the team in the locker room, because even like you said in game four, when a coach tells you the next game to go out and do what you got to do, and you don't see that effort from them, they're giving up on you. They're definitely giving up on you.
Yeah.
There was no heart. The only guy that was out there playing for the Rangers was Igor. I can't think of anybody else besides Igor that played the game.
Well, I mean, Kreider, you could go into, and thanks for the call, Bob, you could go into, you know, some of the other guys, Goudreau. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say that nobody else did anything close to their job, but the big guys did not get the job done. And really, nobody else even had that big of an impact on the game outside of Shesterkin and Kreider, who was scoring a bunch of goals early on, so it's hard to knock him. You know, game six as well. Hard to knock him. But the majority of Rangers just did not do what they were doing all regular season, or did not do their job, period. Mike is in Merrick. What's up, Mike?
Yo, Sal.
What's up, Mike?
Let's go Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, it's not the Rangers anymore, Mike.
I know, but I'm just saying, I know the Rangers lost. Now, I'm going to free up all the Rangers fans to be a Knicks fan.
Well, I think most probably are. I mean, I don't know about everybody, but I think that the majority of people in this city, I know there are some Net fans, but the majority of people in this city, Mike, are Knicks fans. And now, and thank you for the call, and now the Knicks are our only hope. That's it. Rangers out. They go home. Round one. We now turn our attention solely to the Knicks. And what should be, we hope, a long series. But it's also going to be a series that's going to be marred by injuries here. Let's hope. I want to see full teams here. I hope Jimmy Butler plays, and I hope, obviously, Randall and Brunson are good to go. That will make a huge difference. But I still think, even after the game one loss, I still think the Knicks are winning this series. Now, just to reiterate, I did not think they were winning before the series. I do now. Fran is calling from Montville, Connecticut. What's up, Fran?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
How are you, Fran? Good to hear from you.
Well, listen, I'm not so happy with my Rangers, but and I don't really mean to be a negative guy on this, but I got to admit it. Having a little humor here, I think that you and me and all the Ranger fans ought to get ourselves a thoroughbred, a saddle, and jump on it and go on home, because that's what they did to us. They're sending us home.
Yeah, well, I'm about to get, not really on a thoroughbred, I'm about to get in my car in a few minutes and go on home. So, yeah, I'll be going home for the night officially, much like the Rangers.
Yeah, they did a heck of a job. But one other quick thing. Boone and the Yankees, I mean, they don't have it. You know what they got? They got a lot of guns, but no ammo.
Boone and the Yankees are fortunate, Fran, that, and by the way, they don't even have any guns right now.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right.
Look at their lineup. I mean, no ammo, no anything right there. Where, you know, the Yankees are a shell of what they should be. And thank you for the call, Fran. And they're lucky that the Rangers got bounced in this Game 7 because, you know, obviously the Rangers and Devils Game 7, Rangers getting eliminated, top story. That is a horrible, horrible loss. We touched on it earlier as we were on right after the game. It's not just about this one loss, but it just shows you when things are going bad, just when you feel like, all right, well, the Yankees kind of restore order a little bit, restore order and go out there and get a win against Cleveland. They have the most gutting loss of the year. And give up a game that Domingo Germán was terrific in. Boone takes him out. Clay Holmes blows it. Yankees lose. They've now lost four in a row, and they are in last place in the American League East. And 8.5 games out. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Fleegs, as always, for all his help. Thanks to Rosie before him. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hey, Ranger fans, it sucks. There's always next year. Maybe next year on the 30-year anniversary. We'll turn our attention to the Knicks and Heat. Tomorrow night we'll be on after that game. And Yankees and Mets as well. Pat Boyle's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.